Welcome to The Savage Truth with Cicely Davis. I am your host, Cicely Davis.
Welcome back, America, to The Savage Truth. Always appreciative of you joining me, listening in, and for watching. So grateful to be on video, truly. If you are a first-time visitor, I am ecstatic to have you. This is where we tell the savage truth unapologetically, without hesitation, and with the best intentions. Those intentions, of course, being to uphold the Constitution of the United States, have some integrity, some character, honor, and uphold the rule of law and holding in high regard God, faith, family, country, and service. Oh, and go ahead and find a way to love yourself as well. Go ahead and do that. As always, please like, share, subscribe, and leave a positive review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and YouTube. Please and thank you. I really, truly mean it when I say you are appreciated. Let's get this going, shall we? Okay, so let me just start out by saying, I know you've had a little bit of a break. We've had a little bit of a gap since the last episode, and a lot has gone on these days. There's always something going on, it feels like, and I can't keep up, and I'm sure you feel the exact same way. My head is absolutely spinning on all the events that come up. So the last episode was actually recorded the morning of the State of the Union address speech last Thursday, and I'm not going to cover that. For one thing, all that has gone on since then, it's now old news, but I only want to agree with the mob that it was, without a doubt, the worst speech. Being yelled at for 67 minutes by Joe Biden. The applause and the ovations every 30 seconds or so when he told another lie. Another lie after another lie. And of course, Marjorie Taylor Greene boxing Biden in to say Laken Riley's name, to which he mispronounced. You know, calling this beautiful young woman who was bludgeoned to death by an illegal alien from Venezuela, the suspect was an illegal alien. Let's be clear about that. Calling her by a coach's name. Yeah, you all know that Lincoln Riley is a coach at USC. The left-wing media calling him the modern FDR. This boggles my mind. Fiery, fiery. MSNBC said that this is the best Joe Biden ever. This is him at his very best right now. And then, of course, as Donald Trump rallies in Georgia, he brings Laken Riley's family and friends up, hugs them, embraces them, raises up Laken's name, and offers up the most sincere condolences and honors her, having been taken away from us so tragically. In contrast, at the very same time, Joe Biden apologizes for calling the one who took her life illegal, for actually calling him what he is, illegal. Why? You see, you can't do that on the left. It's not allowed. Why? Not just because it's Joe's policies that allowed the illegals to be here in the first place, but also because he's beholden to the radical left wing of his party and can't afford to lose them. His approval rating is too far low as it is, so he simply can't afford to lose that base. My takeaway from that speech is just remember the highlights and the contrast, folks. Highlights and contrast. Joe yelling for 67 minutes, telling lie after lie after lie, and mispronouncing Laken's name, only to follow up with an apology to the illegal alien that took her life, and Donald Trump honoring Laken and embracing her family and actually feeling remorse for her family's loss because Joe decided to erase our border policy, erase Donald Trump's border policies, which would have kept her safe. That's all I wanted to say about that. Remember, highlights and contrast. I mean, at this point, ladies and gentlemen, savages. That's what I'm calling you. Savages. That's all we have time for. So much goes on. So many headlines occur so frequently. The only way to keep up with all this is a system of highlights and contrast. It's the only way we're going to keep track of all this stuff. I'm an avid MMA fan, and one of the things I like to do with my family, my husband and my two kids, is watch MMA fights. Mixed martial arts is the acronym for MMA. The most successful and dominant organization for MMA is actually called the UFC, which is headed by a man named Dana White. In the development stages of the UFC, Dana was looking for arenas to host fights, and Trump, being as gracious as he was, now he wasn't president at the time, said, hey, you know what? You can have your fights here. Hold your octagon fights here in Atlantic City. Now, Dana White never forgot that. He's appreciative, and now today he is a huge Trump supporter and a loyal friend to Donald Trump. So I was watching the fights with my family last Saturday after the prelims, and on the screen, I see Trump. And then all of a sudden, this octagon, the arena gets extremely loud. Now, this was a really important moment. I recognize that this is an important moment, but that sound was deafening. Deafening. I couldn't hear the announcers. You couldn't hear anything. Trump brings down the house like a rock star. Okay. This man, when he walks in, he takes a room like a rock star. He brings all ages, all generations, and that young generation, that's key. He is so much more popular than people let on. And I'm telling you, I've seen it with my own eyes. You don't see that for Joe Biden, in contrast. You don't, and you won't. He simply doesn't have that je ne sais quoi. He doesn't have that kind of draw or pull for people. His appeal is simply that he's just not Trump. That's his only appeal, right? That's not dynamic, folks. That's not enough to carry people or fill a room or a stadium and have deafening, deafening applause and cheers. Anyhow, let's move on to another story. There's so much going on. Like I said, Cassidy Hutchinson. Who didn't know this garbage was going to blow up in our faces? Cassidy Hutchinson, a former White House aide who served as assistant to Chief of Staff Mark Meadows during the Trump administration. So here's a little background on Cassidy Hutchinson, in case you didn't know, just so we can understand who we're dealing with here, who we're talking about, and her relevance. She interned for Ted Cruz in summer of 2016. She then returned and interned for Republican House Whip Steve Scalise in the summer of 2017. She then returned once again and interned in the White House Office of Legislative Affairs in the summer of 2018. Now, in March of 2020, when Mark Meadows became Trump's fourth chief of staff, he selected her to serve as one of his aides. She soon became Meadows' principal assistant, continuing through to the end of Trump's presidency, where her title was special assistant to the president and coordinator for legislative affairs. So during the kangaroo court proceedings of January 6, Cassidy, under subpoena, gave four depositions to the committee, totaling more than 24 hours, testifying on live television on June 28th of 2022. Now, during the June 28th sworn-in testimony, Hutchinson testified that she overheard mention of Oath Keepers and Proud Boys during the planning of the Save America March, when Trump's personal attorney, Rudy Giuliani, was present. Now, several leaders of both groups were later indicted on seditious conspiracy charges for their alleged roles in the January 6th United States Capitol attack. I watched a lot of Hutchinson's testimony, unfortunately, as well as the Capitol Police and their testimony, and she had a lot of story as well as they. She testified that Meadows, Giuliani, Matt Gaetz, Andy Biggs, Scott Perry, they all requested pardons. I also remember she testified that 3 days prior, on January 3rd of 2021, White House counsel Pat Cipolle pulled her aside to express his concern about hearing Trump's plan to march the Capitol with his supporters on January 6th. Hutchinson recalled him saying, according to her testimony, we're going to get charged with every crime imaginable if we make that movement happen. She also testified that Trump threw a lunch plate up against a wall. If you remember that testimony, the wall was splashed with ketchup, okay, is what she was testifying. And on other occasions, he had flipped the tablecloth so that all the contents of the table got on the floor, obviously causing the dishes to likely break and go everywhere. The most memorable, of course, being that steering wheel testimony. Now, you all remember this. This is what she's famed for. Hutchinson testified she was told by then White House Deputy Chief of Staff Tony Ornato that after Trump got into the presidential SUV, the Beast, following his rally, hoping to drive to the Capitol as his supporters marched there. His lead Secret Service agent, Robert Engel, told him it was too dangerous and informed him they were returning to the White House. Hutchinson said Ornato told her Trump became irate and attempted to grab the steering wheel of the vehicle and lunged at Engel's clavicle. Of course, the left-wing media was all over this, reporting nonstop, okay? Just nonstop. Details and innuendos. I mean, they were just loving and eating this up. Now, I think this testimony was so ridiculous, but the question is, why tell such a lame and unimportant story? I mean, in the total scheme of things, is this really, really all that important? I mean, what did we actually learn from her testimony? What? We learned that Trump, like all human beings, get angry. He gets agitated. He has run-ins or disagreements with his staffers. Who doesn't? Now, of course, because she was pulled for the left-wing side of the January 6th committee, we all had strong, strong doubts and suspicions of her testimony. I'm sure you did. I did as well. But the left-wing side of this committee had an agenda, and that was to paint Trump with a bad stroke of evil. Trump bad. Trump is evil. And to do it as often as possible and do it until it really sticks. So much so that lies actually turn into truth. This is marketing, folks. The left is good at marketing. And to be honest, I actually envy them in that realm. They're good at language. They're excellent at marketing and language. They own it. White fragility, white privilege, intersectionality, Black Lives Matter, diversity, equity, and inclusion, implicit bias, lived experience. And let's not forget the new one now. You hear this all the time. This is the new one on the surface, Christian nationalism. Marketing is important, though, and we have to expose these stories and lies and continue to do so on a regular basis. And the burden is on us because undoing gossip and negativity is harder than being ahead of a story or the truth. That's why we need to be savage about truth, savage and relentless. All these stories, all of these scandals about Trump from the left, fake, fake. Trump stole the election with Putin, fake. The Mike Flynn Russian ambassador story, fake. The Trump quid pro quo impeachment phone call, fake. The Steele dossier, fake. And now, Cassidy Hutchinson. Trump lunged at a Secret Service agent. I mean, I don't know much about the beast, the armored car the presidents ride in, and I know just a little. They're heavy because of their protective covering, because of their protective windows, the motor, but I don't think you can actually sit in the back and lunge from the back seat to the steering wheel. I remember hearing that and thinking that this was an absolutely asinine line of testimony. But look, all of the people who believe this, look at all the people who actually believe that, NPR, CNBC, The Hill. Trump lunged at security detail. Not possible, you guys. MSNBC, CNN, they all adopted this and spread it. Now, remember, Cassidy was passing along a story that supposedly someone else told her. So this was all hearsay testimony. But here's the New York Times of all outlets forced to acknowledge that the story is another tallied lie about January 6th and Trump. The Secret Service agent in the car said this, and I quote, "I did not see him reach. He did not grab the steering wheel. I didn't see him lunge to try to get into the front seat at all. You know, what stood out was the irritation in his voice more than his physical presence." That's what he testified. So, you know, we have to get to a point where we decide that there's clearly an agenda to keep this man out, and we have to ensure they don't succeed. I mean, what's the meaning for every government agency to attack and harass one person in every way they can relentlessly? Okay, folks, so understand in politics, and this is what I learned, that there is a reason for doing things, a reason to run, a reason to stand up and oppose an anti-American hating incumbent like I did, a reason to appeal for the honor of representing your constituents, your community members, your neighbors, and your friends. Those hopefully are honorable reasons, noble reasons, and hopefully they're really genuine reasons. But you learn that there's a lot of smoke and mirrors in politics, and there's a reason for everything that's done, particularly when you see or hear about egregious acts like opening the border and allowing any and everyone into the country to the tune of 10 plus million people. So we all heard that it's to fill the void of the loss of Black and Hispanic voters and working class voters by allowing illegals in and allowing them to vote. And you hear people on the left say, that's not true. Illegals can't vote. And that's because they know that there's benefit for them being here, whether they vote or not. So listen to this, folks. They know that even if illegals cannot vote, they are counted in the census, which means liberal states get more congressional representation because the House of Representatives is based on the number of people living in your state. People, not citizens. This is why Democrats love, love, love and embrace illegal immigration. They'll get more congressmen and congresswomen for their team, thereby gaining more electoral college votes in the presidential election, which determines the presidential results. The first one to 270 wins. Remember that. The Democrats want to own presidential elections forever, and illegal immigration is the key. Now, all of a sudden, we have an awakening, however. We're finally starting not to care about being called racist on our side. I mean, they're going to call us that anyway. They're going to call us racist. They're going to call us bigots. We might as well at least speak up and speak out and be savagely truthful about what's going on in our country. You see why the savage word is so important? It's an important word. It's a word of action. It's a verb. I'm telling you, savage is a verb. Shout out, seriously, to all those who spoke up about this and talked about it early and often. Ted Cruz, Dan Bongino, Matt Walsh, Maria Bartiromo, and others. Just a few. I want to say thank you to them. They're always talking about how illegal population growth will be employed to help them take an election. Because they know, Dems know, that not only are Biden's policies whack, lame, loose, and failed, dangerous for the American people, they know that if left to their own devices, American people, just weighing in on common sense and the facts of reality of life, the American people, both red and blue, will lean towards free speech. They will choose freedom. They will choose a healthy economy. They will choose a strong national defense through our military. They want a robust education and health system that honors a choice through a competitive marketplace. They will honor and want secure borders for safety and healthy way of living. How do I know that? Well, think about the election in America in 1984. 49 out of 50 states voting the same way, in spite of their broad differences in political affiliation, on the fundamentals, the American people, we voted for the same things. We voted for all those things. We all voted the same. Every single time we will do that, and they know it. So hats off to the Tennessee Senator Hagerty for bringing up a bill to expose the Dems for what they're doing and to stop this and to stop the counting of illegals in that census. And when this came up, Dems went nuts. Why? This is their only path to secure their power, to replace all the middle class voters they lost, something they actually talk about all the time. This explains the border crime by the left. They want more electoral power in their blue states. They are creating sanctuary cities in those blue states as a magnet. They're shipping them as fast as they can since Joe Biden came into office, with estimates as high as 10 plus million people, I've heard up to 14, that would be 13 extra congressional districts if allocated in the right way. This represents a tremendous amount of power. This means they are giving their voters disproportionately more power in those blue cities than in red ones. This is a purposeful party, folks. They're purposeful. It's also an act to pretend that the border crisis is a fluke, that, Oh, we're trying to address the problem. The border is secure. The border is secure. And now that it's a presidential election time, okay, it's not secure. The border is an issue and we're trying to fix it, but the racist Republicans won't sign the agreement. What can we do? We're trying. We're trying to work with Republicans. We all know it. The terror threat of our country is enormous. Border security are actively looking for people from Hamas, from Hezbollah, from Palestinian Jihad. They have called for terrorists to carry out the same actions like on October 7th, where 1,200 people were murdered in Israel. These terrorists have been called to carry out the same on U.S. soil, and congressional Democrats are complicit in this. They refuse to do anything to stop it. And we just learned about 10 to 14 days ago that the Biden administration actively flew 320,000+ illegals from their countries into 48 different U.S. airports. Now, we don't know that from Joe Biden himself or Kamala Harris, the border czar, or KJP for that matter. We know that because of a lawsuit under the Freedom of Information Act that they were forced to acknowledge that fact. But they won't disclose what 48 cities actually received those illegals. This is without a doubt an invasion. And Dems are complacent, and they are allowing this for partisan political control. Understand this. The feature of the modern Democrat today is the absolute and total destruction of America. The elections, the economy, healthcare system, the education system, regulatory infrastructure, faith in government, our abbreviated agencies, the military. This is a deliberate effort to destroy faith in elections, faith in country, in God, family, American history. And they know they've lost their grip on the middle class. They know that. They know this. And this is why they laugh and make fun of the working class on a regular basis. They make fun of the middle class. They call us deplorables. It's not about race, everyone. Get that. You got to get that. Race, it's not about race. Race is the scare tactic. You got to decide you don't care about being called a racist and reject their language, reject their notions. Victor Davis Hanson said, if Hispanics started voting Republicans at 60%, the border would be closed tomorrow. This has nothing to do with race. It's voting power. That's their focus. And let me just say this, and I promise to move on because this will solidify my point savagely. The Democrats weren't always crazy on the border. They weren't. Here's Nancy Pelosi in 2005, and I quote, "Broken borders, that's an oxymoron, something we can't tolerate. Borders of other nature, our definition as a nation and our protection as a country. Broken borders, they don't exist. We can't tolerate them. So let's say from the start that we all in this body, and I know I can speak very firmly for the Democrats, support strong border control. And it must be the first part of any comprehensive immigration reform. It is our obligation as elected officials to keep the American people safe and our borders, one of our first lines of defense, early lines of defense to do that. And here's Obama, and I quote in 2009, this is not gonna be a free ride. It's not gonna be instant amnesty. What's gonna happen is you're gonna pay a significant fine. You're going to learn English. You're going to go to the back of the line so that you don't get ahead of somebody who's in Mexico City applying legally. But after you've done all these things over a certain period of time, you can earn your citizenship so that it's not something that is guaranteed or automatic. You've got to earn it over time. You can give people an opportunity. Now, it only works, though, if you do all the pieces. I think the American people, they appreciate and believe in immigration, but they can't have a situation where you just have 500,000 people pouring over the border without any kind of mechanism to control it. A totally different party today. So what happened? Watch The View, watch CNN, watch Morning Joe. They talk about this all the time. They have gone so far with CRT and transgender nonsense and crime and DEI and economy and tax hikes and regulation that they've lost the working class and can't count on them any longer. They need to replace lost voters with someone. So they're praying that illegal voters in the country will either come through amnesty citizens and vote for them, or at least be used in population representative counts to build electoral college clout and build up new congressional districts. So now they need illegal votes or representation to sustain the party. They don't have any other choice. So now they're all in on open borders. Demographics are destiny is now a Democratic cliche. These are their words, folks, not mine. Now, I'm moving on, but I hope I have savagely proven that the Democrat Party once relied on the working class voters as their base, and working class voters don't like the idea that other people can come in illegally, break the law, and undercut their wages. They won't go for that. This is about power, not color. This is not about people who are different coming in. Again, it's about power. Moving on, Ken Buck is giving us the middle finger. Scheduled to leave next week, by the end of next week, he is not going to stay in the 4th District of Colorado as a congressional representative. Now, he announced he was going to run for, that he was not going to run for re-election. We knew that. But now, all of a sudden, he needs to leave now. It's just so urgent. Here's his lame statement I begrudgingly quote. Today, I am announcing that I will depart Congress at the end of next week. I look forward to staying involved in our political process, as well as spending more time in Colorado and with my family. His departure will cut, of course, the House Republican margin to 218 to 213, and Speaker Mike Johnson of Louisiana will continue to have 2 votes to spare before needing Democrats to govern. But illnesses and other unexpected absences could make his already difficult job even more challenging. Buck said later that he was tired of the way the House functions now. You got to listen to this, and I quote again, something else is going on here, you guys, and mark my words in that. We got to pay attention to this. Keep an eye on it. Here's his quote. We've taken impeachment and we've made it a social media issue as opposed to a constitutional concept. This place keeps going downhill, and I don't need to spend more time here. And to him, I say bye-bye. So now that he's leaving, there has to be a special election as he's leaving that position early. And guess who's vying for that spot? Lauren Boebert. Lauren Boebert is seeking to run in the 4th, so she would have to leave her congressional seat now in order to run in the 4th because she can't be allowed to run for 2 spots. And this is to rid all pro-Trump supporters in the House. These are MAGA candidates that are being squeezed out. Now, keep an eye out for this one, because he said in Newsweek something to the effect of, wait until you see the other 3 who are leaving. Boebert says she's not leaving, and I'm glad for that. But we need to keep an eye out as this unfolds. Watch this story. This is to put Democrats in charge. It's getting ready for a Trump victory, and it's sad and tragic that we can't depend on our own party members to hold the line. Watch out for this story, everybody. Keep an eye out. And now we move on to her. Represented a bad day for Joe. Lots of bad days adding up for Joe. Her testified holding his position, to which I believe was more help to Republicans, but certainly didn't hurt, but definitely hurt Biden. They tried every ploy they could with semantics and lame legal innuendo to get her to say he exonerated Joe Biden, and it didn't work. Joe Biden deliberately seized classified documents, disclosed those contents to his ghostwriter, and lied about it. It was deliberate and illegal. He is still an old man in obvious cognitive decline, and hers testimony before the House Judiciary Committee didn't change that. Not a whole lot that needs to be said on this, other than we have to decide what the takeaway is after this. Either Joe Biden clearly and willingly breaks the law on a regular basis, operating in continuous corruption and deceit, or He is, as the report says, an old man in cognitive decline with a faulty memory, thereby unable and unfit to run the country for another 4 years. You make up your mind on that. I think we're all on the cognitive decline train. But one thing we do know for sure is he is definitely not a modern day FDR. Well, 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 Fannie Willis gets to stay on the case and her lover must drop out. Well, this will definitely put a strain on the relationship. Now, she gets to remain on the case. Her lover is out. Not the outcome I was hoping for, but honestly, I'm not surprised. Let me explain. While we're in a 2-week wait for this ridiculous outcome, Judge Scott McAfee to bring forth his judgment on this, on the Cash Happy Lovers case of DA Fannie Willis and Nathan Wade of Fulton County, Georgia, the judge dismissed 6 counts in Willis's case against the former president and 5 of his associates, including Rudy Giuliani, John Eastman, Ray Smith, Bob Chile, and Mark Meadows. Now, the quashed counts have to do with the charges related to solicitation of violation of oath of office. The judge said that prosecutors were not specific enough about what violations the defendants were pressuring public officials to commit. The quashing of the 6 counts, 3 of which were against Giuliani, were expected. There simply was not enough detail to put the defendants on notice of what to defend against. But there was pressure on McAfee with regard to his decision to allow Willis and Wade to remain on the case. And this is why I say, this is why I have said, and will continue to say that we need new, bold, fearless, and ruthless Republicans in leadership. Not immoral, not saying that, not unethical, but ruthless. So while he was in contemplation on a case that will clearly weigh in on his seat and voters' decision to keep him as Fulton Superior Court judge, Fannie and Wade and others are running another judge to oppose McAfee. This is a civil rights attorney and talk radio host named Robert Petillo. So apparently, this Petillo guy had plans to qualify as a candidate for the position on Thursday, which is, of course, the day before McAfee's decision was due, according to multiple people with knowledge who declined to actually speak on record. He's the former executive director of the Rainbow Push Coalition, the social justice and civil rights group founded by Reverend Jesse Jackson. He's also a criminal defense attorney, cable news pundit, and a former candidate for state house who has previously billed himself as a conservative Democrat. And as a result, we got to see what kind of Judge McAfee is. In the end, he took a half step, a cowardly way out, allowing Fannie Willis to remain only if Wade drops out, which he did Friday afternoon. So apparently, if we go by McAfee's decision, GPS coordinates of cell phones are no longer a reliable source of evidence. If that is not reliable technology, then there are a lot of criminals who have been convicted simply by location, simply by vicinity, because of a cell phone ping to towers that can actually be released now because of this new precedent. A lot of criminals can be out on the streets today. This is now a case being handled by the DA who perjured herself on the witness stand to now bring forth the case against Donald Trump. This is ridiculous. Wade and Willis deliberately lied to the court. These are attorneys who perjured themselves. They perjured themselves under oath. We have perjury under oath by an officer of the court. By Friday afternoon, as I said, Wade resigned from his position, noting in a letter to Willis he was doing so in the interests of democracy, leaving Willis to move forward with the prosecution. But here's what we know. Jury selection is already a huge challenge in any case involving President Trump. Having a sordid scandal play out in public hearings and making inflammatory comments in church will not make jury selection any easier. And I actually don't care about the money, although the people of Georgia absolutely should. I do care, however, that a DA, an officer of the court, perjured herself, and so did her boyfriend. And now, we're expected to allow her, a liar, bring charges against a former president, knowingly, wickedly, deliberately, arrogantly, and gleefully perjured themselves. And this is what we're up against, folks. Now, we can say that McAfee was terrified of losing his job. He was being challenged by a Jesse Jackson disciple. But I just want to say really quickly, congratulations, Fulton County. You're now represented by a Fannie Willis and a Nathan Wade and a cowardly judge named McAfee. Congratulations. This is what we're up against, folks. We have to be ready and we have to get ready because we are indeed at war and our enemy plays to win at all costs. Remember, highlights and contrasts. We need to decide who we are and what we are fighting for. Our enemy, fortunately, has shown us all their cards. We already know what their talking points are. Democracy is at stake. They're gonna run on abortion. They're gonna run the race card at every chance they get. And they're absolutely depending and running on legal immigration. What's our game plan to win? The enemy is within. We have to get them out. Go vote November of 2024. Please like, share, subscribe, and leave a positive review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and YouTube. And remember, as always, be bold, be strong, be faithful, be true. Till next time, I'm Cicely.
The Savage Truth with Cicely Davis is a production of Front Page Magazine and the David Horowitz Freedom Center. Reproduction of this podcast without express written consent is prohibited.